Let us pause in life's pleasures to count its many tears while we all sup together with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. While we seek mirth and beauty, music light and gay, there are frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading looks will say, oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Oh, hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. There's a pale sorrow maiden who toils her life away with a worn heart whose better days are o'er. Though her voice should be merry, she's sighing all the day. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Oh, hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. It's the sigh that is wafted across the ocean waves. It's the song that's heard upon the shore. 'Tis the dirge that is mumbled around a lonely grave. Oh, hard times come again no more. It's the song, the sigh of the weary. Oh, hard times, come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times, come again no more. Tell everybody who ain't got nobody, somebody's coming. Tell all these people who think they need money, somebody's coming. Tell everybody walking tall and proud that money talks, but it talks too loud. Somebody's coming, it's gonna change everything. Tell all these people making all these decisions, somebody's coming. Tell all these people with a hateful opinions, somebody's coming. Tell everybody in the KKK, the FBI, and the CIA, there's somebody's coming, he's gonna change everything. Somebody's coming to change your mind, gonna sneak up on all you believe from behind. Somebody's coming who won't let you down, gonna turn everything you think is right around. 'Cause somebody's coming, he's gonna change everything. Tell all the people at the end of the line, somebody's coming. Tell everybody holding our work for food signs, somebody's coming. Somebody's coming, he's been here before. If you think you're out of chances, well, you got one more. Cause somebody's coming, he's gonna change everything. Ah, somebody's coming, don't need your vote. Gonna rattle your cage, gonna rock your boat. Somebody's coming like a thief in the night. Gonna stand by his people when we're too weak to fight. Cause somebody's coming, he's gonna change everything. Somebody's coming, somebody's coming, glory, hallelujah. Cause somebody's coming, there's somebody coming, he's gonna change everything.
We light a light in the name of God who creates life, the Savior who loves life, and the Spirit who is the fire of life and who the tomb cannot contain. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Welcome this morning. We're going to lift our voices in song as we praise our risen Lord.
High sopranist, please feel free to sing the descant on verse 4.
We sing to you, O God, the rock who gave us birth. Let our rejoicings in your name.
Thank you.
happy Easter morning. We're glad for us all to be together worshiping this morning. If you're a visitor, if you're here for the first time or back after a long time and you feel comfortable, we'd like to get to know you. The ushers have microphones in the aisle. If you would feel comfortable introducing yourself, we invite you to do so. Or if you're with a host, they could introduce you. Let's do this side first.
I'm absolutely delighted to have my daughter, Devon, and my son-in-law, Ian, and my grandchildren, Maya and Nathaniel, visiting me this weekend. So this is really special to be able to celebrate Easter together.
Other visitors on this side?
Hi, I'm Tom Charles, and we're happy to have my mother, Miriam, with us today.
Hi, I'm Deborah Baker, and my partner Hannah and her father Glenn are here this morning.
All right, well, welcome to you all. We'll now have the children's time. Suzanne will bring that, so if the children would come forward.
Oh my gosh, come closer. Come closer. We're filled with Easter song. Happy Easter. Raise your hands if you got an Easter egg. Did you color eggs? Yes? Okay, well, Easter is full of wonderful surprises. And you children carry the Easter surprise. You are teachers for all of us. Why do you think, Lily? Do you know what curiosity is? Yeah, let me tell you. You are more curious than most adults. This little girl is so curious right now. What does she want to know about? Who is that?
Dog.
Your dog. Let me see your dog. He doesn't bite, does he? Watch. Curiosity. And the more curious you are, the more you learn. Guess what? Children are more curious. They have more questions. They learn faster. Oops. Hello. How are you today? Happy Easter. Thank you, Lily. So, you're full of curiosity. You have a lot of questions, don't you? What is this? Where are my socks? Let's see what we have here to be curious about. This is a glass jar. Is it empty?
No.
What do you think is in it?
Water.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's just a glass jar with water in it. Let me put it here. What is this? Are you sure?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
What color is the egg?
Brown.
The egg shell is brown.
Tan.
Ah! Oops. Almost a too teachable moment. Okay. If this is a brown egg, what's inside?
An egg.
An egg. Would you come hold this for me, please, Lily? Now stay close. And if you're right, and this is an egg, and it splashes all over you, I have napkins, okay? Okay. Close your eyes. Do you trust me? Hold it still. Holy mackerel, this is a hard eggshell. It's becoming more dangerous by the moment. Are you still curious? Good. Thank you, Lily. That was an excellent job. So this is the eggshell, and this is the egg. Well, guess what? What kind of an animal do you think this egg belonged to? Nat?
Chicken.
It is. You're right. It's a chicken egg. Do we still need the shell? We don't need the shell anymore, do we? All right. So I'm going to just wrap the shell up. And we can put the shell in the ground, and it will add nutrients to the soil. Okay? So we don't need the shell anymore, but we do see something curious about that egg that you might not know. All eggs do not have shells around them. There is an animal that I can think of that I've watched grow out of an egg with no shell. What kind? What grows out of an egg with no shell?
Chicken.
No, this is a chicken egg, and that would have to have a shell on it, okay? What is this? A frog grows out of an egg with no shell. Here's a picture of, this is made much larger, but a frog, the eggs have to be in water, and a little tadpole grows into a frog out of the egg with no shell. Okay, let's put the lid on tightly on this so it does not spill out, okay? So, are you still curious about what might come next? Good, because these are really special eggs. How many are there?
Three.
Good counting. Good. Is this an egg from a smaller chicken? What do you think these three eggs came from? Not a bird. I love pockets. Not a bird. Not a snake. These eggs came from Eric Smith. Well, not exactly. They came from Eric Smith's and Sigrid's turtle, whose name is Pauline. These are turtle eggs. These are turtle eggs. What color are they?
Tan.
Okay, so, but they're not the same color tan as the chicken. They're different, right? But they're still eggs, and something special comes out of the turtle eggs. I'm going to send this basket back home with Eric today. All right. Oh, my goodness. We have another something here. What is this? It is an egg. What came, was this egg from? A snake? Did you see a snake? It's not a snake egg. It's kind of, what color is it? It's gold. It's not like the other ones. This did come from a little birdie's nest, okay? It fell on the ground and it did not break. It's pretty exciting sometimes when you find an egg that did not break. Now, I am just wondering what is in this box. Are you curious? Okay. Am I teaching you that it's okay to be curious? Okay. Oh, my goodness. What kind of an egg is this? Chicken egg. Not a duck egg. A rooster egg? Not a rooster egg either. All right, shall we crack it open and see? What is this? Crocodiles come out of eggs too. It's true. You didn't know that, did you? How did I do that? You have to have faith. You have to trust me that I just know some things that you don't know.
But that's not a real
egg. It's not. It's magic. Nah.
Oh, I know what,
what do you think happened? Well, I wasn't holding it the whole time because you've seen my hands. When I put the egg up, I was holding it. You're right. I showed you something that I wanted you to see when I thought you were ready to see it. Now, the eggshells are really important for a while, aren't they? What do the eggshells do? They protect what's inside the egg. All right. You children have shells. You have your shells on right now. They're your bodies. Okay? And you're always, always changing. Here's a picture. I'll show it to you first, and then I'll stand up so that everybody can see it if I can get it out of here. Here's a picture of a mommy and a baby with a circle drawn around the baby, like an egg. Who is that baby? Raise your hand. Don't say anything. Raise your hand if you think you know who the baby is. Okay? It is not me. But it's a baby in a shell, okay, of a body that's growing. Let me give you another clue. That baby is in this picture, too. This picture is colored. So it might be easier for you to recognize the baby now. Now, do you know who this baby is? It is not my baby. It is Grandbob. Grandbob's in this picture. Grandbob's in this picture. Grandbob, would you please stand up? Grandbob's shell is 94 years old. There he is. There he is. Now, our shells grow old too. Here's the thing. The most important thing is not what color the shell is. The most important thing is what's inside. And that's what Jesus gave us in his birth to know that part of God is inside of us. We can't see it. But when our shell grows and changes and gets older, if we're curious about what comes next, were you afraid of that alligator?
No.
Thank you. So, but you trusted me because you asked me, is it real? Okay? You trusted me not to do something that would hurt you, but to give you a nice surprise. Right? So, that's the story. That's my story today of the symbolism of an Easter egg. So when you see eggs and somebody says, I want you to eat that egg. Finish your eggs. You need to trust them that it's an egg and not an alligator, right? Okay? I want us all to have a special Easter prayer together. Can we just put our hands together, close our eyes? Our Father, we thank Thee so much for the curiosity of children, and we pray as adults that these children will be our teachers on how to trust and be curious, no matter what the shell is like. Amen. Can you go back to your seats?
Thank you, Suzanne.
You're welcome.
We'll now take this morning's offering, and Paul, Kate, Anna, and Lucy Schaffner will help us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all you've given us, that you would not even withhold your very life. We give back to you out of that grace and graciousness. Help our hearts to always be gracious and willing to give. Amen. All right, we'll now have our morning scripture readings.
I'll be reading Isaiah 25:6-9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation."
I'll be reading from John Chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And then, stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin which had been placed on the head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Please rise and turn to number 273. Number 273, "Low in the Grave."
Low in the grave.
I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin. We're going to read responsively what's called the call to authenticity. There you go again, God, turning things inside out and upside down. Following you means your lead, means letting go of ours. Yet you are good. You are the one for whom we have waited.
Help us rejoice in your salvation.
And we dearly need God's help to be freed from sin and to rejoice in our salvation. Letting go is hard. Sin has a way of binding us so that we become immobile and unable to respond to God's call. Sin has a way of entangling us to the point where there may seem no way out. This morning, as you received your bulletin, hopefully you got a small piece of string. So I invite you now, if you're interested and willing to participate, to have the person next to you or behind you to tie this loosely around your wrist as a tangible and physical reminder of whatever sin that you struggle to be free with. And we'll revisit that later in the service.
Good morning. Happy Easter to you. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Looking back on my early years, I consider myself one of the lucky ones, one of the blessed ones, so fortunate to have grandparents near at hand. On Sundays, many Sundays, when young Ben Spiker Schoenberg makes his way to the front during children's time, I notice that sometimes he's accompanied by Grandma Sharon. And Sharon and Tom sometimes, when Mike and Bethany have the prelude, take care of Ben while they're at the front singing. Like Ben, my grandparents lived a stone's throw away. In fact, in my case, they lived in the house across the driveway. And I had an especially close relationship with my Grandpa Friesen, who was always my advocate, defender, and confidant, which really came in handy when I got in trouble. And my Opa would say to my dad in German, but I'll say it in English, he'd say, "He's a good boy, Hans, leave him be." My grandparents were our next-door neighbors for the first 5 years of my life, before health issues forced them off the farm and to move into a small home in town. And my grandpa, after suffering several heart attacks, succumbed to a final attack just after I turned 7. And one of those cherished keepsakes that he passed on to me each year while still living on the farm was a collection of silver dollars that he had saved over time. And I made sure that those silver dollars made it into my plastic piggy bank, which was in the shape of a clock. And that piggy bank was always in a place where I could keep my eye on it in my bedroom. And I don't know why I worried so much that someone was going to take it, but I was vigilant with that collection. In fact, at one point, perhaps I sensed my sister eyeing my stash a little too closely one day. And I decided that this priceless piggy bank and its contents could no longer be kept in my room, so I hid it in a place where no one could find it. And a few years later, when I turned 9 and our family moved off the farm to a new house my parents had built on another country lot. Wouldn't you know it, I forgot where I had hid that piggy bank. And the weeks leading up to our move, I searched and I searched frantically, but could not find it. Now, why I couldn't remember, I don't know. To this day, it's still a puzzle to me how I can't remember where I hid this priceless gift. And every once in a while, I think about it some more. Is the hiding place stored somewhere deep in the recesses of my memory? I just need to think the right way to jog it out. Is it possible that I hid it in our barn somewhere behind a wooden beam? And every once in a while, I get these visions of where this piggy bank could be. And even more disconcerting, I often wonder, and still today wonder, what's going to happen someday when someone is going to stumble upon this treasure of mine? And so I continue to search in my mind. The year that I turned 21, my parents celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary, and my sister, brother, and I decided to buy a gift for them in memory of their 25th anniversary. And so we all went in and we bought them each a watch, a very nice watches. And when we presented them to my parents, I had never paid much attention to this, but my father took off his old watch and handed it to me and said, "This is the last thing I have from your grandfather." And it was his old watch, and he passed it on to me. Well, I wore that watch for many years, and jump ahead about a dozen years, and Brenda and three of our children and I were living in Chicago, and I was working with youth in our community, and we went to the park one evening to throw around the Frisbee. And when I got home from the park, I realized my watch was missing, my grandfather's watch. And I was in full panic mode, and I got all our youth together, and we went back to the park, and we looked and we looked and we looked, and we couldn't find that watch. And I even went back later myself when it was dark with a flashlight, and I was looking all over the place, and I could not find that watch. The next morning, I went over to the park to the little office there where the park person who takes care of the park has his office, and I asked him if anyone had turned in a watch, and he looked at me kind of as if I was funny and said, "Yeah, right, as if anyone who finds a watch is going to turn it into me." And I never did find that watch, and I wonder who has it today. The Gospel of John's description of the Easter morning event at the tomb is another story of a person who is searching. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early in the morning while it is still dark. Why is she there? Perhaps simply to grieve and to weep and to watch over someone that she has lost, someone who has impacted her life, so transformed her, so loved her that she was never the same thereafter. This Mary, what do we know of her? Not very much from Scripture. One thing we do know is that she is courageous, loyal, and that she loved Jesus deeply, for she did not run and hide when Jesus was taken into custody. And she stood at that cross on that Friday, resolute, immovable, defiant, determined to see this horrible thing through to the end. If the intent of the Roman authorities was to use crucifixion as a deterrent to those who would defy their rule and order, well, it didn't work on Mary. Perhaps it didn't work because what Jesus had already done in her life. In Luke's gospel, we're told that Mary was one of the strong, courageous women of Jesus' entourage, women who helped to support Jesus' ministry out of their own means. And Mary, well, she may have been especially dedicated to the cause because it was Jesus who cured her of 7 evil spirits. Mary knew salvation. She knew what it was to be free from the forces that threatened to overwhelm her, to destroy her, forces that entangled her, bound her for most of her life. But Jesus instead transformed her and released her and unbound her. And who knows what awful things that Mary did with those demons living inside her? Who knows what others must have thought of her at the time? Who knows what she must have thought of herself? But now Jesus intervened, and Jesus somehow, miraculously, saw something within her, something worth saving. His love was that great. And so now she found her freedom and committed all that she was to following the way of Jesus, with Jesus every step of the way. But now Mary's at the tomb, perhaps there simply to grieve, perhaps to pay tribute, to stand guard over the one who redeemed her, who unbound her. But what happens? She discovers that the stone has been rolled away. Can you imagine the panic when she gets there and sees what happened? We are told she sprints back to where the disciples were hiding out, probably in a state of shock, blurts out that somebody had taken Jesus' body from the tomb. This Savior, this one who worked wonders in her life, who raised her from the dead, has mangled his mangled body now gone. And we know how the story goes. The disciples run back, Peter and the other disciple, the disciple that that wrote the book of John, the writer of this gospel, the favored disciple. Well, Peter and the other disciple race back to the tomb and discovered it was empty, just as Mary had proclaimed. And of course, not surprisingly, I suppose, we're told the other disciple was the first to believe. What it was he believed is not stated in this part of the story. But I suspect, since he was most likely the writer of this gospel, that perhaps a bit of embellishment may have come into play. For the next thing we know, Peter and this other disciple are making their way back home, while it's Mary who stands by, crying and pondering this great mystery. Mary takes a peek inside the tomb, and she sees these two angelic figures seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And these angels ask Mary, "Why are you crying?" And her response, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." And even now, in the panic and crisis of the Easter morning event, Mary is bearing witness, sharing about her Lord. And then we're told that she turns around, perhaps trying to get her bearings, her emotional bearings, and there stands Jesus. But she doesn't recognize him, perhaps too upset to recognize him, or perhaps he doesn't look like he did. Whatever the reason, Jesus now asks the same question as the angels. Why are you crying? And then he asks what seems to me in this story is the most important question of all. And that question is this: who is it that you're looking for? Who is it that you are looking for? She mistakes Jesus for a gardener and carries right into her explanation of the missing body of the one who saved her life, who redeemed her. She's so oblivious, so distraught, that she makes the unbelievable claim that if the gardener could find Jesus' body, that she alone would carry it back to the tomb. And that would be a neat trick. But then Jesus reveals himself with one word, Mary. And it all clicks. The naming of Mary, the recognition of one who earlier in life had seven demons living inside her, but now is free and redeemed and fully loved and embraced by the one who redeemed her, who made her realize that she is valued, that she is worthy of love. Who is it that you are looking for? Sometimes we spend our entire lives searching for something or someone, searching to make sense or to find relief, to be free of those things that consume us like demons. And it gets described in all kinds of different ways. We look and we look and we look, and we cannot find the most valued thing we are looking for. And sometimes we don't even know what it is. But Mary is an example of one who has found, who has been redeemed, who's been unbound from those things that haunted her. At the beginning of John's gospel, Jesus comes on the scene for the very first time And John the Baptist spots him and declares, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And the next day, Jesus appears once more, and John is with two of his disciples, and he points out to Jesus again and says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples begin following Jesus. And Jesus stops in his tracks and turns around and looks at those two disciples, and he asks them, "What do you want?" In other words, what are you looking for? What do you want? What are you looking for today? What do we want? And who are we looking for? What are those things that ensnare us that we can't seem to cut loose? How long will it take before we recognize that we cannot cut ourselves loose, that it takes the loving touch of another? Mary knew all too well who had cut her free, who had unchained her from the forces that imprisoned her. You know, I grieved and I was upset for a long, long time when that watch went missing. And as a child, I grieved and I was upset for a long, long time when that little piggy bank and those silver dollars that my grandfather gave me were missing. But I realized I don't need those coins and I don't need that watch in order to have memories of that person who loved me so greatly. Those things are within, just as Suzanne said. Those things are inside us. And I think what Mary discovered at the tomb that day, even when Jesus said, "Do not embrace me," that Jesus knew and Mary discovered that Jesus would be within her for the rest of her days. Today we give thanks to God for the one who has the power to set us free, the one who waits for us to recognize the face of the gardener. And so we gather to celebrate and rejoice that one is Jesus, who frees us in love and mercy and grace. Amen.
We'll now sing our hymn of response, number 124, "My Soul Cries Out," and sing the story, the purple book, number 124. Do you need to stand again?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
So here again, the story of Easter morn, this time from the Message. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting, "They took the master from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloth lying there, and the kerchief used to cover the head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took a look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scriptures that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head and the other at the foot where Jesus' body had laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. And Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She was thinking it was the gardener, and she said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." And Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, "I saw the Master." And she told them everything he had said to her.
Arise, my daughter. Your bonds have been broken. I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your days be bright.
Say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found him a resting place, and he has made me. He has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water. Thirsty ones, stoop down, drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live. That holy sound, gentle in your ear. Will you let it turn your heart around and silence every fear? I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your days will be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till my traveling days. Through these rocky ways, until my traveling days are done.
It is good to give thanks to our God, whose faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Let those who honor the Lord say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Let each person from the youngest to the oldest say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Brothers and sisters, God loves us so much that he gave his only son. He loves us even though we are imperfect. He loves us even though we are careless with the hearts of others. He loves us even though we harbor anger and seek revenge. He loves us even though we hurt one another. He loves us even when we are unable to love ourselves. And he offers his grace and forgiveness freely and in abundance. You have been forgiven. You are free from whatever may entangle you. There are scissors at the end of each aisle in the middle, and I invite you now to cut away the symbol of the sin tied around your wrist on the person next to you. And as you cut the twine, say, Jesus loves you and has forgiven all your sin. You are free. Jesus loves you and has forgiven all your sin. You are free.
Please rise and turn to number 280, Christ the Lord is risen today, number 280. We'll keep this one moving and slow down on the last Alleluia only after the fifth verse.
Raise your joys and try.
So it's time for announcements. There are just a few in the bulletin. Are there other announcements that need to be made at this time? If there are, there's ushers in the aisles.
When the children came forward for the children's time, I did not pass out a sending gift. I always fear that if it's opened too early, chaos might ensue. Now, this is not an edible sending gift. And it's not a live chick, for those who know me well. Oops. It's packages of sidewalk chalk for them to go home and be creative and enjoy a spring fling on the sidewalk. So if you have a child who might be back in the nursery, or if you came up during children's time, if you would come up now, I will give you your Easter egg sidewalk chalk. Look at them run. And you thought it was a live alligator. Anybody else who'd like to take one home? There are some extras. I will simply leave this here if you'd like to come up after the service. I see the 18-20-year-old smiling. You really want it, don't you? Yeah. Okay, it's here.
Other announcements? No, there is no Sunday school today. Is that correct? All right. So we close the service. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, we'll read together it's responsively the call to commitment. So God turns the world upside down and inside out, bringing life out of death and beginnings out of ending.
Please take your Blue Hymnals Hymnal Worship Book and turn to 269 for our sending song, Thine is the Glory. I invite us to stand for the benediction, and then we'll sing Thine is the Glory, 269. Please stand. Friends, we leave this place recognizing that Jesus is with us and Jesus is within us. And so go with the joy in knowing that Jesus goes with us. Amen.